As I'm talking, there was one thing I wanted to ask you guys to do to kind of help me along. It's something that I saw the pastor do at the church that I went to this time there. It's more so for like sermons and teaching, but the pastor would say, "Hallelujah," and then the congregation would say, "Amen." And that meant that it was sort of like asking, "Do you understand?" "Yes." So he would, and also to like bring praises to God for something that he was, you know, saying was good about God or what God had done. So let's try that now. "Hallelujah." "Thank you." Okay. I'll try to do that a few times to keep you awake and just to check on you. Yeah. So if you could go to the next slide. Thank you. Yeah, so first I just wanted to kind of give you a bit of context by telling you what Love A Village is. So Love A Village is a new and small charity that raises funds and then funds projects in Malawi in rural areas just to help people to get their basic needs. It's a Christian organization motivated by, you know, what the Bible says and what Jesus told us to do in helping the poor. And yeah, but I say it's new and small, but also ambitious, and it's kind of growing in what it's doing, growing in its kind of group of people back here in Canada that are supporting it, growing in its knowledge and experience in Africa as well. It's a registered Canadian charity, and it's led by Julie and Trevor Seeth, who are from here. They live in North York, and I know them through my friend Marshall, who I went with last year. And their plan was to do like a 5 or 6 year program in the area, rural area called Luhomero, to develop the villages there and give them get their basic needs going in a way that's lasting, and then a lot of the village can move on to another area and do the same. The five kind of projects or areas that they work in are water, food security, education, sanitation, and shelter. That's kind of what those five pictures there are representing. So it's like clean water, distributing soil filters and drilling wells, food security. There's a new farming method that doesn't cost them any more to use it, but it will help them grow more crops and be able to have more food for their families. Education, it's especially for making sure that young women can stay in school, and also learn a trade through sewing. It's kind of a program they're doing. Sanitation is another big thing, because you have to, you know, have clean hands and kind of be generally clean if you're just going to be drinking clean water, and sickness can come from there too. And shelter, because a lot of people there have homes that are just grass, but they also have fires all the time to heat their food, and that can, you know, those two things don't add together very well. one thing they're doing now is giving small loans so that households can buy tin roofs that will not burn down, basically. So that's kind of a summary of what Love A Village is. And if you can go over to the next slide. So this, I thought, was just a bit of a funny picture. I didn't take this one, it was from a few years ago, but that's Julie, and she's handing a cup of clean water to this little girl. And I sort of thought of it kind of as like a meme, but the caption that I was thinking was, so you're telling me that in Canada they use clean filtered water to flush toilets and water their grass, but what I have to do is walk to the water, walk back carrying the water on my head, fill another bucket, and then wait a few minutes for that water to go through a filter, and then I have maybe one or two cups of drinking water. So, yeah, I thought that kind of also is a little way of kind of understanding the gap between kind of what we have in Canada and what they live with there. If you go to the next slide, so just quickly, there's an arrow pointing to our location and an arrow pointing to where I was in Malawi. And then next slide is kind of zoomed in on Malawi, and then that red arrow is pointing to Ekwendeni, which is where I stayed, but it's kind of, if we zoom in one more time, yep, thank you. Ekwendeni is the town that I stayed in. It's just north of the city of Mzuzu, and then Luhomero is a little bit further north and then away from the main road, and Luhomero is that rural area where Lava Village does its aid work. So that's where I was, and then who I was with is the next slide. So this is the team that went, and so their names are Mackenzie, Ilana, Sam, and Emma. Two of them stayed for 3 weeks and two of them for 4 weeks. The answer to your question is, yes, I was the only guy that went on this trip. But it was fun to do it with them nonetheless. If you go to the next slide. So then the two people sitting down there are Julie, who I showed in a picture before. She's the founder and leader of Lava Village, along with her husband, Trevor. And then Dan is kind of our main partner in Malawi. He has his own NGO there called Rural Development Partners. And Lava Village provides the funds, and then he manages the projects locally. Okay, so on to kind of what I did in my trip, if you go to the next slide. This is one of the smaller bridges that they had to repair just like maybe a week before we got there, because the rains were late, so the rainy season only really ended maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we got there, which was nice because everything was green. But we wouldn't have had access into Luhomero if these bridges weren't there. So there was a bit of an emergency fund for that, but lots of money came in for it, and then that bought the materials for it, and then the villagers actually repaired the bridges themselves. Now if you go to the next slide, you can see a couple of the village men working on it there. They're cutting the lumber down to size. And it was nice to see, because a big thing with this aid is you want them to be taking ownership of it, and you don't want to just sort of be giving handouts. So it was nice that they didn't have the money to do it, but so we provided that, but they did have the skill and the time and the manpower to do it. So that's what they provided to do it, and they were very happy to do so. Even more so, if you go to the next slide, the kids were actually carrying the lumber from the building, just a short walk away from the, because we got there when they were repairing the third bridge. But it was really nice to see how the kids were excited to do their part and move the wood where it needed to go. And just showed that they weren't kind of sitting back waiting for us to do everything for them. So if you go to the next picture, it's just a cool thing, because last year the Seeth family, so Julie, Trevor, and their kids were there together, and they painted the inside of a couple of the school buildings in Luhomero. And this is one of the, they put John 3:16 on this wall. And it was nice to kind of have gone back the year after and see it, and see that the kids had been in school with it and what it had done for them. It's just a nice thing to see. And then if you go to the next slide, so I went all the way to Africa, but I never left Caledon. that was just something we passed by in Mzuzu, but I just thought I'd show you that because it was a little funny. If you go to the next slide, so this is the next day. It's kind of the picture so far. We're our first day driving to Luhomero. The second day, we drove back in, and we had a bit of a coordination meeting with Dan, who I told you about, and Richard and Mac. So Mac is also like a partner with Lava Village. He is our driver whenever we're there. But also when any of us from Canada aren't there, he's going back into the community from Ekwendeni, checking on the water filters and the wells and things like that. And he also kind of drives Richard around, because Richard is, he has problems in his knees, but he's a health worker there who he kind of knows the whole community and has really supported a lot of what Love Village has done, and he's just so big for it. But this was a little meeting that we had with them, and I just thought it was a good way to tell you about those guys. But you'll see them in his next picture, where this is the, if you remember from last year, I was showing you a bunch of pictures from how they were hand digging a well, and this is actually that well. So I got to, because last year I was watching them dig it, but I didn't get to see the finished product, but we went to that same well and we got to see the full apron and the pump and everything there, and to get to use it and kind of check up on the success of that specific well. They were telling me that this one, it kind of, unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of water in this well. They could pump it and get maybe one bucket, but then it would take a long time for that water to refill inside of the well. So it's kind of a slow filling one, so it's not as good as we would have hoped, but there's at least something there. So kind of it was good to see that and know that, and I'm sure Julie and Dan are making plans to kind of compensate for that and make sure that those households around there are provided for. But that was one of the things we were doing on the trip, was kind of checking on things that we'd previously been a part of or supported as Love Village. So another well, if you go to the next slide. So this one was the cool thing that I got to do in 2016, was pull out those pipes from this really old well. This is that same one. So it was, had been working, which was good to see, because when I left last year, we just pulled everything out and like saw why it was broken, but then they had to fix it kind of after we left. But it was nice to see that they had been using it in the interim, and that this well actually has a lot of water in it. They said it has enough like water supply in it that they could even put like an electrical pump and there'd be enough water to continually pump it out. So this one is supporting, they said, about like 22 or 21 households around it, and there's a lot of water, so all of them can come and get clean water kind of, you know, whenever. But one of the reasons we came to this site was to see that, you know, it was working well and kind of get some information there, but also to observe them building the concrete apron around it, because this one only had a little one and didn't kind of have the other things that Love Village normally requires to have to make it a sustainable well. So we kind of helped them out with that a little bit. If you go to the next slide, this is down by the river that's close to there. We were helping them carry the sand from the river to the building site for making the concrete. So that kind of explains this next picture, which some of you may have seen on Facebook, of me carrying a bucket on my head. So that's actually filled with sand, and the villagers, before we got there, they had moved a bunch of the sand already, but we just wanted to help them out a little bit, and so we kind of went back and forth a couple of times and just made the pile a little bigger, big enough that they could do the construction. If you go to the next slide, that shows them working on it. The two guys, like the blue shirt and the orange shirt, their names are Patience. Yes, his name is Patience. And the other guy's name is Halbard. They are from the Smart Center, so they're trained and experienced in doing that concrete work. And they were kind of being supported by the villagers, who could do things like mix the concrete and kind of work along with them. So that's, again, the villagers provided the sand, the bricks that they made themselves, and they gathered the water that they needed, you know, before they started working on it, and they were helping out with the labor too. So the villagers contributed as much as they could, and then kind of these two guys, and I think also the cement mix was provided by funds from Lava Village. And so you go to the next picture that shows kind of the finished product, still a little bit wet, but that's what the finished apron looks like. So it has a place to stand where you can easily pump the well from, and it also diverts all the water away to what they call a soak-away pit, which is kind of on the left side of this picture, where it actually recharges the well, excuse me, and doesn't like sit there and create mosquitoes and things like that. But this is kind of what we were doing. It was nice to see last year like a abandoned broken well go to kind of this finished product that they can use for many, many years. And actually the three guys standing there, interestingly, were kind of like chiefs or village leaders, basically. So it was good to see that they were showing a lot of interest, and the guy in the blue shirt, actually, he did a lot of like the cement mixing and things like that, so they were participating in it, and they were listening to patients who was telling them how to, they have to sprinkle water on it for 7 days after to strengthen the concrete and how to maintain it and things like that. The next slide, this was just what Julie inscribed into the concrete. So Isaiah 55 verse 1 is there because it says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And it also says rehabilitated by RDP and LAV, which is the Rural Development Partners and Lava Village. So then the Friday to Monday that I was there, I had the opportunity to go and learn from somebody who is kind of fairly big in Christian development work, because he was actually kind of a consultant for World Vision, and they've changed a lot of the way they're doing their development work based on what he's been teaching them. So his name is Andy, and I went to go see him with Blessings and Mac. So I think I told you about Blessings before I went. He's a student. He's done his undergraduate at Africa Bible College, and he's still a student, but he's kind of helping Lava Village, and this was his second time visiting Andy to kind of learn from him. But if you go to the next slide, I just put this here to show you that to visit Andy, we had to go further north. It was about 4-hour drive through the mountains. It's very beautiful, but to a town called Uliwa. So you go to the next slide, you can see this is kind of what we were doing for those 4 days, just like sitting with Andy and learning from him. And that guy in the middle is Blessings. And so Blessings, kind of his connection to Lava Village is he's been the one going in to Lou Homero once a month to meet up with the Bible study that they started, and kind of support them and just check in on them and encourage them. And he's been doing that from the long way, so it's a very long trip for him to do, but he's been doing it anyways. And he's a big part of what Lava Village is trying to do, to add more kind of gospel ministry and Bible teaching to the work that they're doing in Lou Homero. And that was kind of the primary purpose for us going to learn more from Andy, because I'll explain that kind of in the next few slides. But if you go to the next one, I just wanted to show that Mac was there too. And in this picture, Andy is kind of showing us some things in his farm. Because interestingly, he's a missionary, but he supports himself off of his own land, which is pretty cool. And he has a bunch of farming techniques that can be used by anybody in Malawi to increase their food security. And what we're looking at there are peanuts that were actually, it was just the beginning of like the harvest season for those. So we actually ate a lot of fresh peanuts straight from the ground. And they're very like, it's almost like potatoes or apples, but really small, because they've got a lot of water in them, but they taste very good. If you go to the next slide. So this is the program that Andy founded and is running. It's called Discipling for Development, or Discipleship for Development. And he's doing that through the Navigators, because Andy is a missionary with the Navigators, and he kind of, Navigators has always done their missionary work through kind of person-to-person discipleship. And Andy kind of saw the need for development work in Africa, because when he started to raise his own funds, he basically couldn't, because there wasn't enough people in Africa to support him. So then that's why he started raising his own support from the ground, basically, and started this program to help people through the word, but then also how the word helps them to like develop their communities so that they have a higher quality of life. So this Discipleship for Development program, the kind of big deal with it is that it's holistic, in that it says their whole life discipleship. So discipleship isn't only, that you go to heaven when you die, and it's not only that you go to church on Sunday. It changes everything in your life, including your responsibility to, like feed your family and make sure they're healthy and get them what they need and things like that. So it's kind of holistic in that way. And it kind of goes against a tendency in the church there to think of the church as something only spiritual and not connected to sort of our daily physical lives. But it's a kind of a marriage of evangelism, discipleship, and development work interwoven together. So myself, Mac, and Blessings wanted to learn about this program and see what elements in it we could apply to what Love a Village is doing. So to give you an example of what he was teaching us, you can go to the next slide. So he said, if you think of a problem like young children, like a 3-year-old child dies from diarrhea, why did that happen? Kind of the first thing that comes up in my mind is dirty water. Like if they were drinking clean water, they wouldn't have got the bugs that gave them the diarrhea, and they would have stayed healthy and wouldn't have died. When you think about it some more, you can think, well, what if it was because they lived in an area that didn't have a hospital, so there was nowhere to take the child? Or what if it was that they went to go get medicine for the kid, but it was the wrong medicine? Or what if it was malnutrition or poor hygiene, or simply that they just didn't have the money to be able to take care of the child? So all of these things each of them can have some contribution to problems like this. So when you do development work, you kind of have to see that, because if you just address like dirty water, like you drilled a well next to that person's house, they probably still have this problem, like unhealthy children and people, because all those other factors are still there. And then even after you've thought of that, you can't just go and then kind of tackle one at a time, because each of them are related to each other. Like when you think wrong medication could have been because there was no hospital or doctor to actually go to, or you think dirty water is connected with poor hygiene, or no access to a hospital is because there was no means of transportation. So if you keep going through them like that, because most of them are related to each other, and draw lines in between them, what you end up with is, on the next slide, is this. So this is kind of give you the idea that problems that they have in these poor rural communities are complicated and not so simple. So to fix these problems, you can't use just a very simple, quick solution, and that you have to do something that addresses all of these almost at once, basically. And that it takes more time and isn't as simple as just, you know, drilling a well. And another thing, before I move on, that was kind of very eye-opening for me and kind of helped me understand it's kind of more than like a simple engineering problem. There's not just like one thing, like, okay, we fix the dirty water and then the whole community is changed. Like, if you drill a well, then you have to make sure that they maintain it, that they use it, that they use it for drinking water, and that they have clean containers to put the drinking water in, or else then it's not clean if you put it in a dirty container. And then, this just goes on and on. And it's not to sort of say that it's hopeless, it's just to recognize that, and then it actually kind of pushes us back to the gospel to say that the only way that we can really address so many problems at once is to go to the root of the problem, which is people's hearts and broken relationships, which will actually, if we can go two slides forward. Yeah, so I just wanted to share this as a picture. So that's Andy, the guy we were learning from, and his son, Andrew. He actually gave him this same name, and his son is going to take the name Andy, and he's going to take the name Andrew when he's old enough. But he was really cute, and he was kind of crawling around as we were learning from him. And I just wanted to emphasize that, so the kind of thing I showed you was just like the tip of the iceberg of what he taught us over the 4 days, and it's so much that like I'm still processing it now. But it was a huge blessing because there's so much that we learned that we can apply to how Love at Village is working, to kind of do it in a way that, you know, is best for the people and most honoring to God, and the most sustainable way too. So if we go to the next slide. After visiting Andy, I headed back to Equindeni, and the next day went into Lujomero again. And then on that day, I took this picture. I was trying to get one kid who had a Toronto Maple Leafs t-shirt on, but then I realized the next day that there was a kid standing in front of that kid. I wanted to show you this picture anyways because this is kind of like one of the reasons that we're doing the work is because of these children. And like, this is just like a small fraction of how many kids there were, because it was interesting because going there in the morning, we got to see all the kids like at the school, because we normally, this kind of central location is where the school is, so we'd always drive into there. Like last year when I came in July, school was already out, so I didn't get to see any of them. But this year, I got to see a huge crowd of kids. A lot of the like problems, like dirty water, are more of a problem for kids this age that are still like growing up. And in order for them to kind of make it to adulthood, there's a lot of things that they need, and there's a lot of things that a lot of them aren't getting. Just kind of wanted to share that picture. On that same day, if you go to the next slide, we went for a walk. Okay, it's kind of hard to see with the lighting in that picture. But this is one of the churches in Lujomero. So it's just a clay brick building with a grass thatched roof, it's kind of like open air windows. But this is probably like one of the bigger ones in Lujomero. The other ones are like smaller and are basically just like little mud chapels. I got a lot of questions over last year about what the churches are like there, and so this kind of gives you an idea that there are church buildings and they do meet there on Sundays, just keep that in mind when I show you the next couple slides. Go to the next one. This is a map of Lujomero that Richard drew. It's kind of hard to see your point of view, the details on there. So what I wanted to point out on this was the number of churches there and where they are. So if you go to the next slide, Each little red arrow is a church, as Richard has labeled it on that map. So Malawi is like a, you can call it a Christian nation. It's like a lot of it is nominal, but there's lots of Christians there, and like the gospel has reached pretty much everywhere in Malawi. But the thing is that in each one of those churches, the not necessarily true that the word is being preached kind of each Sunday. There's a bunch of them that there isn't like a trained pastor, and it's just sort of somebody who goes and says something vaguely Christian each Sunday, and there's people who, a lot of them go there to church culturally, so it's just like the thing you do on Sunday morning. And then there's a lot of good pastors and a lot of good churches, and I'm sure there's at least a couple good ones there, but kind of a trend that a bunch of the Malawians were telling me in Malawi is that the church is like a business, because if you don't have a job or employment or something, one of your options is to become a pastor and live off of the tithes that the church gives you. And because the standards of like what a pastor has to know or his education are fairly low, it's kind of easy to do that. But that kind of gives you somewhat of a picture of the state of the church there. But one of the things, so like we've seen that as Lava Village, and Trevor, Julie's husband, who's a pastor, is kind of leading the initiative to do more to help these churches and support them. Is hoping that we can kind of choose three or four and support them so that they do have educated pastors or pastors who know the word and can preach it well, and support them and you know, partner with them to continue in the development work. I'm looking at my time, and I don't have a lot of time left. So I'm going to kind of, the rest of my trip I spent with two Dutch engineers. Their names are Hans and Reinier. If you go 1, 2, 3 slides forward. Oh, okay, that was, can you go one back? Yeah, so that's Reinier and his wife Rihanna and their two daughters. They're living in in Mizuzu full time, as kind of, they're working along with the Presbyterian Church there at the Smart Center, which is where they train Malawians to do things like dig wells and sell water filters and dig toilets and things like that, so that they have a trade that will help people to get the clean water and sanitation that they need, but then also have a source of income themselves to try to build up the economy that way in a good way. Because if you go to the next picture, there's just a picture, that's Hans and his wife, Hedy. And she has a cool ministry in early childhood education, but I don't really have the time to tell you about that. But they're very cool missionaries, and they've decided to live in Malawi and minister to the people there. If you go to the next picture, that shows Hans and Reinier standing in front of the building that is the Smart Center. And on the right, you can see they have a bunch of demo wells that like people can come and see, and then talk to them about talking to one of the contractors. So like they have a few Malawian contractors that they've trained, who they get the contracts to like dig a well or whatever, and either the funds come through something like Lava Village, or possibly just a person there who has enough money to get something like that. If you could go to the second last slide. Yeah, so this was a picture I took while I was there. The sunsets there are very beautiful. I just kind of wanted to end on this picture because it was kind of the representing the sun setting on my trip there. But So it's kind of coming to an end, but also very beautiful and a very good trip. I learned so much. And a big thing that kind of changed for me was I got a much deeper understanding of like the need in Malawi and in Lujomero, because like that diagram was showing you how like complicated it is. The whole 2 weeks I was having conversations with people there about different reasons that it's difficult for people to lift themselves out of poverty, and especially in Malawi. So there's a lot more work to be done, and I'm kind of sad that there are all those problems, but I'm also looking forward to the chance to be able to help them in that and go back and continue the ministry. And I'm also happy that there's organizations like Lava Village or the Smart Center that know that these problems are complicated, but they're addressing them in a holistic sense. Don't really have time to do the last slide, but if you can go to it. So this was another one of the lessons as part of the Discipleship for Development program that Andy is doing and training people in. But it's just kind of a fuller understanding of like what the gospel is, and also this is also the how we should really understand where poverty comes from. And so poverty comes from broken relationships between us and God, us and ourselves, us with each other, and then us with creation. And I just had a few verses there, but basically, primarily because our relationship with God is broken, we have a broken fellowship with God because of our sin, those other three relationships break down too. And those are the source of like not flourishing socially, emotionally, and economically, and spiritually. And looking at the gospel in that kind of full sense changes the picture from simply, I listen to the pastor and, you know, I believe in Jesus and I go to church on Sunday, to that, plus like each day of the week, you know, you wake up a son or daughter of Christ, and each of those four relationships is being redeemed and reconciled through your relationship with Jesus Christ. So like as an example, our relationship to creation is being reconciled because Jesus is the creator and ruler of all creation, and we're also waiting for the new heavens and the new earth. So if we go to Colossians 1:15-20, it says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So that kind of points us to the fact that there's a lot that Jesus did on the cross. He paid for our sins reconciled us to God, and in doing that, reconciling us to the creator of all things, the one who created us, the one who created our community, and the way we relate to each other, and created the earth and nature and creation. And so because we have a restored relationship with the source of every good and perfect gift, we have a restored relationship with our own selves, our own identity, with each other, and with creation, and with God. And with that, and the time that I've gone over, I'll stop there. Thanks so much for listening, and you know what I forgot? Hallelujah. totally forgot that. Thank you.